Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 247 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. The International Cricket Council suspended Sri Lanka's crisis-ridden cricket board earlier this month, citing that they had failed to ensure no governmental interference in its affairs. The game's world's governing body said Sri Lanka was in serious breach of its obligations as a member, in particular, the requirement to manage its affairs autonomously and to ensure that there is no government interference. Now, that suspension came after Sri Lanka's parliament asked the board to resign over allegations made by the sports minister that it had siphoned millions of dollars. Now, the update is that Sri Lanka can continue participating in international cricket as they can play bilateral tours and ICC tournaments. But they've been stripped of their hosting rights for the ICC Men's Under-19 World Cup that is due to start early next year. Now, in this episode, we will discuss all that transpired and get to the root of the matter. On the podcast to join us for this discussion, we have Estelle Vasudevan, a freelance sports journalist in sports media based out of Sri Lanka. Without further ado, let's get started. Estelle, welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. First things first, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's been an interesting couple of weeks with the World Cup going on. Feeling a bit of withdrawal after watching all those games for about 2 months. But yeah, things are going well.
That's true. And, you know, I think to give a little more context to our discussion today, now Sri Lanka has been suspended from international cricket. I mean, the news now is they can compete in bilateral cricket and ICC events. So what are your first thoughts on this suspension? When you first read it, did you really see it coming?
I think it's tough to say that anyone in Sri Lanka was surprised, particularly because, I mean, there was a bit of back and forth in the week preceding. With the interim committee being appointed and then a stay order being issued to stop the interim committee from functioning and, you know, that kind of thing. But also, I would say, I mean, for anyone who's followed Sri Lanka cricket, again, it wasn't that surprising because this kind of clash between the board and the sports minister has been on for about a year now, more than a year. So not very surprising, but definitely disappointing, particularly with... I mean, the Under-19 World Cup coming up and, you know, initially when it was announced that there's a suspension, we weren't really sure of what the consequences of that would be. So surprising, not surprising, but disappointing, yeah.
Certainly. And I think one of the biggest repercussions that Sri Lanka is going to be facing is how the ICC has, you know, replaced them as hosts. So now the World Cup is going to happen in South Africa. So do you see this as a major hit to the board? And, you know, like hosting a World Cup certainly comes with a lot of privileges, right? So being stripped off that is a massive hit.
I'm not sure how much of a hit it is to the board, but I certainly think there are huge... it impacts a lot of people, right? For example, I'll give you a journalist like myself who would have been looking forward to covering the event. Maybe production companies, live streaming companies who were interested in getting on board. Also, Sri Lanka hasn't hosted a world event in quite a while now. If I'm not mistaken, it was the 2012 T20 World Cup, the men's T20 World Cup. Following that, we haven't had any global events played in Sri Lanka. If I'm not mistaken, the women's qualifiers for the ODI World Cup or T20 World Cup were supposed to be in Sri Lanka a couple of years ago, but with COVID, that was also moved. So this was the one kind of opportunity a lot of people were looking forward to. I know some of the clubs in Colombo, which were supposed to play host to the games, had done a lot of repair work and, you know, refurbishments to their facilities, who would also now be, you know, you expect that you can make that up with a World Cup. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And let's not forget the guys who will be participating, right? The boys who were prepared. I mean, it's difficult to change your mind or and your mindset and your preparation now with 2 months to go, right? Sri Lanka would have preferred to obviously play in Sri Lanka where they're more familiar with the conditions. And also, I think, you know, if you take other teams, they would have also prepared for conditions in Sri Lanka. And now tournament moving to South Africa means completely different set of plans. Perhaps even with the squads, there might be changes.
So Certainly, I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, changes in the near future as well, you know, with respect to the squads and all the strategies that have been planned. But when I don't know if you can call this a silver lining. Now, Sri Lanka can, you know, continue to compete internationally in bilateral cricket and ICC events. But a major drawback here is how the, you know, ICC will be controlling the funds, right? So do you still think it's a good move that at least Sri Lanka gets to play some form of cricket and, you know, bring in that revenue?
I think it's definitely a good thing. I, like you said, that is kind of the silver lining that the teams get to play at every level, whether it's domestic or nothing is to be interrupted. And that's great because, I mean, if you look at something like COVID also, it had a massive impact on players, right? I mean, you don't get that time back. So if there was an interruption to a player's career, I think that would have been massive. Particularly, like if you look at, for example, the under-19s, you don't become under-19 again, right? You have one opportunity, and if you miss that, then you have to move on. Similarly, I would say players who, you know, are at the latter stage of their careers or who are in a rich vein of form, even a month's, you know, absence from the game could make a huge difference. So I think that's definitely silver lining. The funding will obviously be an issue because, you know, that's what the boards depend on to run cricket in the country. But my understanding is that that will continue as it is. I'm not too sure if there's any major funds due until 2024. So it's unlikely to have an immediate impact, but we'll have to wait and see how long this lasts and, you know, what are the other repercussions we see in 2024.
Certainly. And, you know, delving deep into this issue now, the ICC board, right, they've determined how Sri Lanka cricket is in serious breach of its obligations as a member and also, you know, the requirement to manage its affairs autonomously and not have like this whole governmental influence. But, you know, we saw how the cricketing board was sacked during the men's World Cup loss to India. Then it was reinstated based on a court order. So under Sri Lanka's own like sports law, the government does have the power, right, to dissolve the governing body of any sporting discipline. So how would you explain this law, and do you see it in contradiction with how the ICC operates?
That's an interesting one because my understanding is the sports minister does have the authority to make certain decisions over any board in the country. But the ICC obviously expect the boards to run independently, right? And, you know, but that is not really, in my opinion, if you look around the world, there is no country where there is no governmental influence, right? Yeah. So it's an interesting one because Sri Lanka, I mean, you don't have, if you look at Sri Lanka itself, every squad that is announced has to be ratified by the sports minister before it's officially released to the media, right? So that in itself is kind of like interference in that, you know, it hasn't happened, but what if the sports minister says, no, let's not include this player, right? That is interference in itself. But Sri Lanka has run that way for many, many years now, and it hasn't been a problem. I do think that when it comes to finances, perhaps that is the area that really makes an impact. And in this case, there have been allegations about financial mismanagement by the board, and those are sort of, at least they are, what can I say, they are represented as the main reasons for the government or the sports minister wanting to have an interim committee. I mean, we think that it's because Sri Lanka lost to India, but that was kind of like the, you know, last straw kind of thing, right? Whereas it's the clash between the sports minister and the board has been going on for over a year, stemming back to alleged mismanagement of funds during the T20 World Cup last year in Australia. So it's an interesting thing whether you can really align to ICC regulations because, I mean, I don't have to give you examples, right? You know, or whether it's not just South Asian countries either. In many other countries, there is an influence of political influence, right? But yeah, like I said, so it's very interesting the stand the ICC has decided to take. I just hope that it doesn't have long-term implications on Sri Lanka cricket. So in that sense, being able to play is definitely a good step.
Certainly. And another interesting thing is how, you brought in this point of the ICC, not really acknowledging this before. And they kind of even took a dim view of this in the past. And looking back in 2014, when Sri Lanka's government also, appointed a committee. So has this been percolating for a very long time and it just, came to its fruition now or something like that?
It all depends, I think, with the relationship between the sports minister and the board. That's, I think, one of the major points, because the sports minister is the one who is generally, in this case at least, who wanted to look into things and ensure that corruption is stamped out and all of that, right? So if the relationship between the board and the sports minister is good, I don't think they really look deeply into anything. And they allow the board to run as they wish. And if the relationship is not that great, then, things are, pointed out. And even with Sri Lanka's performance, I think it was almost like people were waiting for them to perform badly so that they had a case to bring forward. I mean, no one would have said anything at the end of the 2021 Asia Cup, right? Because Sri Lanka won that. And it was like all the board or everything the board's been doing is working, things are going well, all of that. But when things go badly, that's when, a lot of players want to stand up and, find fault and stuff. I don't want to get myself into trouble, but this corruption has been around SLC for decades, right? And again, it's not just SLC, it's probably around the world. Wherever there's money and power, right? That's there. So to your question, I think it really depends on the relationship, like I said, between the sports minister and the board. If they're able to keep each other happy, then there aren't problems. But when they clash, then issues like this come up.
Fair enough. And looking at the sports minister's role now, he sacked that entire cricket board and he installed like an interim committee, which was led, by Arjun Ranatunga. But it also contained like the sons of two politicians. And then the interim committee was, of course, struck down by the courts and the old board was reinstated. So what is happening to the affairs of cricket right now? Like who is governing what and who is being recognized by the ICC as the sole representative for Sri Lanka?
I believe, according to the ICC's communications over the last couple of weeks, they still recognize the elected board led by Shami Silva as the ones in control of Sri Lanka cricket. They don't recognize the interim committee. And like I mentioned to you, it was kind of a stay order was issued against the interim committee. So they aren't in power anyway. There's also kind of a case in Sri Lanka where the cabinet decided to appoint a 4-member committee to kind of oversee what is going on and look into the issues of the board. So that's also happening. Things move very fast in Sri Lanka cricket. So what I tell you today, tomorrow there might be different development. There's also, I think the board is looking to press charges against the sports minister for defamation. That's another side of things that, might go south. Yeah, so lots of things happening. At the moment, though, ICC recognizes the board elected under Shami Silva.
Right. And I think there was this another, set of things that were going about how, Sri Lanka Cricket released this statement denying this government accusation that they had, mishandled preparations for this Under-19 World Cup. There was a lot of claims of, funds misappropriation and like venues not working out. So what are the legitimacy of these claims? And do you think besides the government interference, any other reasons ensured the stripping of hosting rights?
I do think that there have been multiple complaints by SLC themselves to the ICC that there is government interference. I think that would have played a part. Because like I mentioned, this interference thing has been happening for years, or that influence by government has been happening for years, but no action has been taken in the past, right? Except for this time. So I do think that that definitely had an influence where SLC wrote to the ICC and indicated that they were coming under pressure for certain things. That may have had an impact in the end. Because it seems like, I mean, if you look at Afghanistan as an example, it is with the board's consultation that a decision on what happens to Afghanistan cricket has been made, right? Similarly, you would think that something like that's happened with Sri Lanka cricket as well.
Fair enough. And even, you know, earlier you brought in this point of how they were almost waiting for the men's team to underperform or, you know, not have that ideal World Cup so they can present their claims. So now in the view of how the men's team actually did end up performing at the World Cup, with this also coming, it must have come in as a major shock to not just journalists or experts, but to even the fans as well, right? Who are often, you know, neglected as the most important stakeholders in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the way the team performed obviously has come as a surprise to some people, but not everyone, I would say. I mean, realistically, Sri Lanka were disappointing, but I don't know if you could have expected them to finish in the top four, given that they did come from the qualifiers. So you would understand that they haven't played great ODI cricket through the Super League, right? But yeah, so expectations were, I mean, they're always going to expect big things because Sri Lanka has done well in the past. But I guess, you know, so situations like this obviously would impact everyone in that, you know, even if you look at the team, when something like this happens in the middle of the tournament, there are people, not, I don't mean players, but possibly even support staff who would be worrying about what happens next to them, right? Because many of them are on short-term contracts. So all of that could have also had an impact, I think.
Definitely. And also looking at another shocking revelation that Arjuna Rantunga made, he's ignited this whole firestorm of controversy by accusing Jai Shah, who's also the president of the Asian Cricket Council, secretary of the BCCI, that, you know, he used his influential position to dismantle Sri Lanka cricket. So what do you make of these claims? You know, do you think it was just him igniting another man's ego, or like, are there any legitimacy to these claims?
Look, it's like this, okay? So Arjuna Rantunga is known for making, like, yeah, you know, incidentally claims like that. You know, he's always had a problem with the IPL, for example. And, you know, when he was president of the board, there were issues where players were not allowed to go for the IPL. He's always had issues about money playing such a huge role in sport right now because things were different when he was captain. So he's always someone who seems to speak his mind, right? At the same time, I don't think we can deny that the BCCI does have a massive influence on decisions made by the ICC. And, you know, because they are such huge stakeholders within the ICC, there could be, you know, certain decisions and certain influences that could come in through the BCCI. But I don't think that, I mean, there's no reason why the BCCI would want to, you know, shove Sri Lanka off, because Sri Lanka agrees with them on everything. They vote for them for everything, right? And in return, we get the India tours and we get all those benefits out of it. So I don't think there's any legitimacy in the claim that, you know, Jai Shah had anything to do with Sri Lanka's suspension. But yeah.
That's actually true. And reading more into this suspension, you know, now we have seen how the women's team has been taking a lot of positive strides, right? In each of the series, we really see them come out strong. We have Chamari Attapattu, who's been doing supremely well in the WBBL as well. So do you think a suspension like this is a major setback?
You know, when it was first announced, of course, you know, there were doubts about whether Sri Lanka would get to play. And that was the major concern. As it stands now, I don't think that there's going to be, you know, a huge impact on anything, because cricket is to carry on as it's supposed to. There aren't any announced fixtures yet for early 2023. I think a South Africa tour is coming, but we are not sure of the fixtures yet. So as long as they're able to participate, I think it won't be an issue, because like you said, that momentum that they've built in this last maybe 18 months is huge. And we did see how far they fell behind during COVID when they weren't able to play for, I think, nearly 2 years.
That's true. And, you know, here's hoping we get some clarity on that, because they're a team that, you know, deserves to play a lot more. And I think another major aspect that needs to be looked into is how Sri Lanka is set to lose another 2.4 million, right? This is the ICC grant to develop local venues, which could be considered as a major setback as well. So do you again read into this a lot?
Yeah, it could be a setback, because my understanding is that the cricket clubs were asked to renovate. And I suppose once the grant came through, the money was to be distributed to the clubs. But now a lot of the clubs have renovated, and if they don't get the funds, that could obviously be a blow to them. I'm sure that, you know, there will be a workaround. Or I hope there will be a workaround, because obviously, you know, Sri Lanka is already in a tough economic situation. So it's not like these clubs have a lot to spare in terms of funding for stuff like, you know, renovation. So, yeah, I mean, it could turn out to be a big blow, but hopefully there is a workaround in the future to come.
Certainly. And as we reach the end of our discussion as well, do you have any final thoughts and hopes for this matter to get resolved as soon as possible? So, you know, we can see a much more refreshed and strong Sri Lanka in the cricketing ecosystem.
Yeah, obviously, nobody wants to be kind of suspended by the ICC, right? Because obviously it comes with its perks as well. The biggest thing, I think, overall, and the huge silver lining is that Sri Lanka's teams can play in whatever tournaments to come, but they'll also want to get the funding sorted out so that, you know, they can continue to grow and, you know, invest in the domestic structure to ensure that we are able to improve from where we are right now, whether it's the men's or the women's side, who need kind of that support and that funding to go forward in their journey. So that's my major hope, that, you know, we can get it cleared up soon enough, hopefully before the end of the year. I don't know how that'll work, but hopefully by the end of the year, things would be sorted out. But we'll have to wait and see, because, I mean, the sports minister in Sri Lanka is also not someone who looks like he will easily back down. So that's another, you know, that could be a roadblock. It's like this. I mean, if I speak as a fan, both sides of it seem like it will be detrimental to the fan, because if there is corruption, then that's not good for the game. But also interference means that the suspension will continue. So either way, we stand to lose. So hopefully there will be a solution to it pretty soon.
Fingers crossed and really hoping for the same. And on a side note, you know, even with the way how media portals have been reporting on the matter, you know, they try to project Sri Lanka as this place where there's so much corruption, and they fail to acknowledge that, you know, in their own countries, there is so much. So how do you, you know, interpret this Western gaze and this, you know, the way they actually see Sri Lankan cricket?
That's a tough one to answer, because like you said, a lot of people like to turn their gaze outward when it comes to things like this. There is corruption, I think, anywhere there is money, right? And the amounts of money that are changing hands in cricket right now is kind of unbelievable. So there's definitely, I mean, there it's very likely that there's corruption in every board. But of course, people find ways to legitimize those things, right? So, I mean, it's nothing new. I think as an Indian, you would be able to relate as well about the Western gaze. But it's something we just have to live with and move forward with, no?
That's actually true, and perhaps even a fitting conclusion to our discussion. Thank you so much, Estelle, for again, you know, joining the podcast, sharing your lovely insights on this issue. For a lot of us here, you know, I think an episode like this would give a lot of insight, you know, into what has exactly happened and how to perceive it, rather than just read, you know, plain reports that say suspension has happened. But, you know, getting that deep dive insight was quite helpful, and thank you so much for that. Here's hoping we can again have you back, and we would reunite on a more positive note, you know, with no suspension. So yeah, until next time, stay safe and take care. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NeverOnTheBack1 on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Back Foot is also now on YouTube, so don't forget to check out the content there and press the subscribe button for a lot more. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.